morning.
Good morning.
We make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto thee. O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I am a poor, miserable sinner, and confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted,
and saves the crushed in spirit.
I will bless the Lord at all times.
His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me,
and let us exalt his name together.
I sought the Lord, and he answered me,
and delivered me from all my fears.
When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted,
and saves the crushed in spirit. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Lord, The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O God, your divine wisdom sets in order all things in heaven and on earth. Put away from us all things hurtful, and give us those things that are beneficial for us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for this morning, the 21st Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 5, beginning with verse 10. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them, and what advantage has their owner but to see them with his eyes? Sweet is the sleep of a laborer, whether he eats little or much, but the full stomach of the rich will not let him sleep. There is a grievous evil that I have seen under the sun. Riches were kept by their owner to his heart hurt, and those riches were lost in a bad venture. And he is father of a son, but he has nothing in his hand. As he came from his mother's womb, he shall go again, naked as he came, and shall take nothing for his toil that he may carry away in his hand. This also is a grievous evil. Just as he came, so shall he go, and what gain is there to him who toils for the wind? Moreover, all his days he eats in darkness, in much vexation and sickness and anger. Behold, what I have seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun, the few days of his life that God has given him, for this is his lot. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil. This is the gift of God, for he will not much remember the days of his life, because God keeps him occupied with joy in his heart. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
He will command his angels concerning you. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The epistle reading is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest, as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way: God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this passage he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David as long afterward in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our wickedness, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Alleluia. With man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to them, "See, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Let's join in confessing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
Please
be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There was a time that Jesus and his disciples were walking through a wheat field. It was a Sabbath, and the disciples were picking the wheat and eating it. The Pharisees who saw it grumbled about it because it was a Sabbath and no one was to do work on the Sabbath. Jesus corrected them and said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Might have seemed like strange words at the time, but the Sabbath has always been something that's been important in the scriptures. We hear about the Sabbath in the beginning. God created the days, the world in 6 days and rested on the Sabbath. The Israelites were commanded to also rest on the Sabbath, to spend that special time in the study of God's Word, in meditation and prayer, to contemplate perhaps the things that had taken place so that people would indeed gather for Sabbath worship. They would gather sometimes in a synagogue if one was close by, other times it might be in the temple in Jerusalem. But regardless, it was always something that was important that they did. Even the apostles, after Jesus' resurrection, continued to worship in the synagogues on the Sabbath. But then they added the eighth day, the day of resurrection. The eighth day was the beginning of a new creation, and that's why the early church referred to it as the eighth day. A new time, a new beginning, a new creation in Christ Jesus. The writer to the Hebrews tells us something more about the Sabbath when we hear him speaking or writing, perhaps in the text for this morning from Hebrews. We are reminded once again in this particular portion, like we heard last week, that those who were disobedient did not or were not permitted to enter into God's Sabbath rest. It's easy to look at that perhaps and say, oh, they didn't get to go into the promised land. But it's more serious than that. They didn't get to go to heaven. The rest that God had for his people ultimately is there in his presence with him in his kingdom. They were barred from the promised land and they were also barred from heaven. The writer of the Hebrews even goes on to explain that Joshua didn't lead the people into that Sabbath rest, but that there was another Sabbath rest to come. Jesus is our Sabbath rest. He is the one that Scripture speaks of, and he speaks of him in this passage as well in Hebrews. We hear about our Lord's sacrifice for us so that we can stand before God's throne as those who are redeemed, so that we too can enter into that Sabbath rest. In truth, we already have. Otherwise, we would be sore pressed with the idea, I've got to do something in order to get into heaven or I will be excluded. Of course, a natural thought is to try and keep the law, but we know that is not possible. The sin of the people in the wilderness was one of disbelief, not one of they couldn't keep God's commands, but they became disobedient. That is, they did not believe God. It wasn't a matter of keeping the commandments that God wanted them to do what he called them to do, which was to go and expel those who lived in the promised land, to remove them from that land because God's judgment was coming down upon those people. Because they failed to trust God and do what He commanded, God said, you too will not enter into my rest. Judgment fell on them as well as the people who lived in the promised land. God is serious. God is serious. But people don't take God seriously all the time. Oh, maybe when our life is threatened, we might think to call out to God. Or maybe if we receive some worrisome news, we may even dare to pray for God's help. But a lot of times it seems we don't take God's word seriously at all. And that's disbelief. And if it's not checked, we could lose what faith we have. We would need to cry out to God, Father, I believe, help my unbelief. And know that He will. Jesus is our rest. He is our Sabbath. He is the one who has come and done the labor you and I were incapable of doing. And He has redeemed us. Other ways that Scripture perhaps points to the importance of Sabbath and how the Sabbath even points to Jesus as being the true Sabbath rest that God offers us. And that is what is known as a sabbatical week, or a year rather. Every seventh year, at the end of that time, all debts between Hebrew people were to be canceled out. This is from Deuteronomy. All debts between Hebrews were to be canceled out. Why? Because God is giving them this land that they will possess. Everything belongs to God, and God wants the people to remember that. They don't own, they are caretakers, they are stewards, they are sojourners with God. Though He is giving them this land, they have a responsibility, and that one responsibility is to look out for one another and care for one another. Moses records this about the seventh year. Of every 7 years, this is to take place. Now, if there's a foreigner who owes you something, that doesn't apply. But this only applies to God's people. In fact, Moses even writes about that before he mentions this, that they are God's people, a royal people, a priesthood. And then he goes on to tell them what is important and to remember that time, that seventh year, and to do these things. And God promises, you do this, and it will go well with you, and you will be blessed. And He goes on to say, if any Hebrew owns another Hebrew, at the end of the sixth year, the beginning of the seventh, you are to set that person free. His servitude has ended. You are to set him free, or her. But you are to also give generously from your blessings that God has given you. Lavishly give them from your flocks and any other goods that you have. In other words, set them up. Take care of the poor in your midst. Give to them as they have need so that they can take care of themselves from what God has given you. These are God's instructions for every 7 years to do these things. It is important. It's about redemption. It is about forgiveness. All of that is that very thing. Debts canceled. Slaves freed. That's what Christ has done for us, our Sabbath. He has canceled out the debt and He has freed us from slavery to sin. All has been given to us. All has been given to the people of God. But the writer to the Hebrews warns us to watch out that you do not fall into disobedience and your heart become cold. We don't really need to worry about it in the sense that there is something we have to do for our salvation, because that has been done. But we do need to be diligent. We do need to be in the Word of God continuously. We need to be in prayer, not just for our needs, but for one another. We are always to remember one another in prayer. The apostles point to this and call for us to do so. Because who knows, one day you may find you will have to give an account for your faith to someone, and it may cost you your life. It did for one man who was a disciple of John the Apostle. He followed John. He learned from John about the Lord. He was a disciple in that regard, a disciple of Christ. You know him as Ignatius. You've heard that name before, Ignatius of Antioch. And actually, this Sunday is a Sunday that is appointed to remember Saint Ignatius of Antioch, a pastor and martyr. Around the period of the Emperor Titian, who ruled over Rome from 98 to 117 AD, near the end of his life, Ignatius was arrested, taken in chains to Rome, and eventually thrown to the wild beasts in the arena. On the way to Rome, he wrote letters to the Christians at Ephesus, Magnesia, Tralles, Rome, Philadelphia, and Smyrna, as well as to Polycarp, Bishop of Smyrna. In the letters, which are beautifully pastoral in tone, Ignatius warned against certain heresies. He also repeatedly stressed the full humanity and deity of Christ, the reality of Christ's bodily presence in the Lord's Supper, the supreme authority of bishop, and the unity of the church found in her bishops. Ignatius was the first to use the word Catholic to describe the universality of the Church. His Christ-centeredness, his courage in the face of martyrdom, and his zeal for the truth over against false doctrine are a lasting legacy to the Church. That's what is written in this book here about him. Who knows? Maybe one day we will have to stand also at the threat of our life to make that good confession. So always be in prayer. Always be in the Word of God, so that on that last day when Christ returns, you will stand with your heads high, not cowering in fear, because you know that it is the day that your Lord has come to take you home to Him. Not just you, but all those who have remained obedient. That is faithful in their walk with the Lord. That's what obedience is. Trusting in God above all things. Trusting in Him alone. Knowing that He means what He says, and to always take His word seriously. And in these days, we indeed need to, and not lose hope of the promise that He will return. It's been 2,000 years, and people perhaps wonder, will He come? And the answer is yes. He will come. It is His word. It is His promise. And God cannot lie. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. seat. Let us rise for the prayers of the church. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the church, that she may proclaim our Lord Jesus Christ boldly, with whom all things are possible, and by whose death and resurrection the kingdom has been opened, let us pray to the Lord. For the servants of Christ's church, that they would be spared from love of wealth and fear of their difficult tasks, and be steeled to set aside every comfort for Christ's sake and for the gospel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for our homes, that every household we would find eternal rest in Jesus and His Word, and for fathers and mothers, that they would be diligent in teaching their children and be preserved from hardness of heart, let us pray to the Lord. For our nation and its leaders, that in true wisdom they would promote honest labor, temporal protection, and fitting enjoyment under the sun, that all Christians would serve Christ in their citizenship and callings, and that our hearts would be occupied not with the vanity of riches that perish, but with the true joy of Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the brokenhearted, the crushed in spirit, the sick, and those in need, especially Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Sandra Avila, Jan Johnson, Robert Galabias, Alfred Durson, Johnny Reuther, Jeff Schaffner, Edward Russell, Don and Donna Tolner, Nelson Meyer, Robert and Donna Knopf. That God would hear the cry of His righteous and deliver them out of all their troubles, let us pray to the Lord. For all who draw near to God's throne of grace, especially those who eat and drink the blessed sacrament this day, that holding fast to our high priest and his confession, we may receive mercy and find grace to help in times of need, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, after the supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in joy and peace. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated.
We have no anniversaries, and again, I want to say since Glenn is here today, thank you for restocking our parking area.
Yes.
Also, a reminder that we do have a church council meeting this morning after coffee and refreshments, and then on November the 7th, our voters meeting and election of officers and the new budget will be done at that meeting. Also, Sunday, November the 21st, we're having Mission Harvest Festival. And November 28th, we're going to be putting up our Christmas decorations.
Start thinking about it.
Mark your calendars.
I want to thank everybody that was working yesterday and we were meeting up to it. I thought we had a really good zone rally here yesterday. There weren't tons and tons of people, but it was very nice, and everyone who was here seemed to really enjoy it. Thank Pastor for giving our devotional and doing all kinds of things that need to be done here in the afternoon. And also, it was fun to bring stuffed toys and other toys, and the police chief and two officers and one of the officers' wives and a darling little baby came to visit us, and they took the toys, and they were really nice to get them.
There were a lot of
them. Yeah, it was a good thing.
And our church had provided a bunch of them. Thank you for all who contributed. And one of the people who came from Victoria commented on how that she loves to come to our church, and it's just so special, and the bathrooms are clean. Not only that, I mean, the parking was so nice, you know, and thank you again for striking and for people to finish paving, because it made our church really sparkly back.
Okay, anything else? Go in peace, serve the Lord.